I'm Bill Zortman, and welcome to It's Your Agribusiness Show. This hour, a milestone in the original It's Your Business series. It's show 700. 700, and Rev, we finally made it to the big seven number.
You are entering the Zortman Zone.
700 times we've done that. And most of those have been with Rev.
Probably about 680 of them.
I would guess so.
Right around there, 670, 680.
And it only seems appropriate the show should be a part of agriculture. Headline last week, agriculture leads South Dakota in growth, the fourth highest in the nation. And the David Montgomery story in the Argus said that the biggest contributor to South Dakota's economic boom was the farm sector. Agriculture, forestry, fishing, and hunting combined grew to 6.3 billion last year from 4.7 billion in 2012, a 14.1% increase adjusted for inflation. That being said, we'll talk about the growth throughout this hour, and why not start at the top with Lucas Lynch, South Dakota Secretary of Agriculture. Lucas, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Bill, and I tell you what, congratulations on show 700.
And
I'm 700, impressive.
Now, that will be a trivia question. Who was the guest on your 700th show, the first one out of the tub? And I can say it was at Lucas Lynch.
And that's right.
And you had a meeting that was scheduled, and you said, no, I need to be with Bill on Monday morning.
You're welcome. Anytime that we can talk about agriculture, it's a good time in our book. You know, and as you allude to, a lot going on in agriculture. And in South Dakota, that's what we do. I mean, and the diversity of the ag sector across the state, it's really impressive from the sheep and the grazing livestock in western South Dakota to include our livestock, beef cattle. It complements that of the row crop production in the eastern part of our state and as well as the livestock industry on the eastern part of the state. And on top of that, you have the growing dairy sector. Just a lot of neat things going on in ag, and it's just an honor to be here today to talk with you on it.
All right. But the story did make a point that it has been volatile in agriculture the last few years. Declined 6.7% in 2010, rose 17.8% in 2011, fell about 12% in 2012, increased again in 2013. How do we know who's driving the bus and when?
You know, I think when you talk about agriculture in South Dakota and as well as in our own country, recognizing we are absolutely part of a global economy, and some of the volatility in the prices and are directly correlated to the inputs as well. The profitability, as you can imagine, the cure for high prices is high prices. And when you get those high prices, it has a tendency to follow itself up with market adjustments. But in South Dakota, part of what you also saw was demand. We have the ethanol plants that take our tremendous corn crop that we've been able to grow now north of 800 million bushels in last year and help produce over 1 billion gallons of ethanol. And when we do that, there's a market demand. And then if you go back to 2012, remember the drought came through, and there were aspects, areas in our state where there was no corn crop, and it truly was silage that had been taken off and fed to cattle. And so because of that, there was a local demand that really also pushed those prices. And so that's exciting when you're dealing with the profitability area. You know, I talked to folks that were in a lucky spot in 2012 that got the rain and had the corn, and they did exceptionally well. So it's the volatility is also part of the economy that we're a part of on the global scale. But one of the things that really helps thread the needle to some sense of normalcy is that of our food policy, and that's our farm bill that recently passed earlier this year.
One of the things that we have learned, and we're talking with Lucas Lynch, Secretary of Agriculture here in South Dakota, is we learned from the movie Farmland. And we've just been recently talking to somebody to come on and each week do a segment called The Farmer's Daughter. Because even as good as we might be with all the volatility, with all the numbers that we've seen, the growth that we've had, we've got to pass the torch to the next generation.
Without question. Without the next generation being in a position to step up and take on the family farm or ranch, it's really a dilemma that a lot of families are faced with, because there has to be profitability in order to do that. And you look at the cost of, they call them family living expenses off the family farm. It's no different than if your husband, wife in Sioux Falls raising your kids, family living expenses are also a part of working and living on the farm. And every time you bring back a farm family to the family farm, it adds additional expense to the bottom line. An old adage or comparison that used to be made is, what's the cost of a new Corvette? That's about the cost of family living today for a family of four, is about the price of a new Corvette. And that's taking into account, from fuel to entertainment, to food, to housing. And when that family operation decides to bring home a daughter or a son and a daughter-in-law or a son-in-law and their family, there has to be profitability on the bottom line to do that.
You do have a couple of big events coming up next week. You want to talk about the summit scheduled out in the hills? It includes the governor and even a speaker out of Washington.
Real excited to talk with you. Next week, we do have the governor's Ag Summit for 2014. And, when you talk about agriculture in South Dakota, and we have that one time once a year to bring together, whether it be industry leaders, it's free for anyone that would like to attend. We just ask you to register with the SD Ag Summit on our website. You can get there and find out more information, sdda.sd.gov. But when you come out to the Ag Summit, you're going to have the opportunity to get an industry update from myself. I'm really looking forward to giving some updated numbers. Part of that is we had the 2007 Ag Census, and that every 5 years they do the Ag Census, and we've got the 2012 Ag Census that we're going through and extrapolating information out of for that briefing. And then we're going to combine that with 2013 economic impact between the National Ag Statistics Service, SDSU Extension, SDSU itself, the South Dakota Department of Agriculture. We're taking a very holistic look at ag in South Dakota and really getting into the weeds on economic impact, so that when we talk about the economic impact of a dairy cow in one county or another, or that of a beef cow, we know those numbers. So I'll be giving that update. We also have Undersecretary Michael Skuse coming. That's really a tremendous resource to have coming to our state. And for your listeners, Undersecretary Skuse works for Secretary Tom Vilsack with the United States Department of Agriculture. And he has been a great resource for me as your Secretary of Ag, someone that I enjoy having personal conversations with, dealing with farm bill issues. He also oversees the Farm and Foreign Ag Service. So the Farm Service Agency that we have, all of the FSA offices in the state are under his leadership. Craig Schoeneman is his state director, who's a fellow South Dakotan that runs that shop. But he comes in and he can talk about the Farm Bill. He can talk about the livestock indemnity program and how well it's been rolling out. The number of dollars that have gone into western South Dakota from the LFP program, when you're dealing with forage loss program, or you're also dealing with the livestock indemnity program, the LIP payment, and that's from the actual losses from the storm last fall. That all was rolled up into this year's farm bill, and he'll be giving us an update on that. So great person to come in. We'll also be talking about roads, rails, and rivers. Quite fitting when you talk about farm-to-market roads in South Dakota. It's part of the future that we have in our state is continued reinvestment in our infrastructure.
So we want to mention one other program coming up, too, and you guys have sent out a nice note about a national show in our backyard just with some people over the weekend from Huron, and they were planning on serving 12,000 pancakes at the Red Power event up in Huron.
Yeah, so a great update on that with the State Fair Park. The 25th annual National Red Power Roundup, we got it right here in South Dakota, and it's coming to Huron starting the afternoon of the 25th of June, all day on the 26th and 27th, and right through on Saturday the 28th. But if you... you know, we know there's a lot of green paint fans out there, but boy, I know in my family, on my father-in-law, he enjoys the red ones, and this is the opportunity to look at the Red Power Roundup, and tremendous number of tractors are going to be there from across the country. It's going to be a lot of fun. So if you're in the area looking to do something a little bit different, it's almost like having the state fair. It happens to be the Red Power Roundup. So a lot of activities. The South Dakota State Fair website should have some real good information there for you. You know, just a real quick look at it. Thursday is a full day from, you know, rope making demonstrations to tractor Mac Billy steers to a whole lot of the last days of the International Harvester. Of course, you got to have Sherwin Linton and the Cotton Kings, tribute to Johnny Cash on the Freedom Stage. So that's on Thursday, the 26th. So a tremendous amount of opportunity there to really get into summer and enjoy the State Fair Park.
Sherwin's a big legend as far as local, in South Dakota music goes. Oh, so what do you, Lucas, what are you, red or green? I got to know.
You know, my dad worked for John Deere, so my earliest memories are of green paint, but I definitely married into the red family, so.
Oh, I'm not sure what that makes you, but must be an interesting Father's Day.
Orange.
That's right.
Lucas, we appreciate you taking time to be with us. All of these topics are very important. We have a lot of good guests in our show today. They're going to share a lot more about agriculture, and I couldn't have a better guest to start our 700th series with you. Thank you very
much. All
right.
Thank you for all you do. Appreciate it, guys.
You betcha. Let's make a stop over in Mitchell. I visited in Roger DeRoshi's old Mitchell Tech on Saturday. You got Roger and Luke together over there?
Yes, you do, Bill, and thank you.
All right. Now, the note that I have from you guys is you've got a super hot cattle market going on over there. 10,700 head of feeder cattle sold on June 12th.
Yeah, last Friday they had their summer special sale, and the leadership and management of Mitchell Livestock Auction, they sure had a hot sale with what you said there, over 10,000 head of cattle sold in one day.
All right, can you relate to the financing, the beef cattle feeding spreadsheets that you've talked about that are available? Why is that important?
Well, it's like anything else in agriculture. You need to put the computer to the numbers, and when I was at Mitchell Tech, we developed some electronic spreadsheets where you can do the scenarios of what-ifs if you buy these cattle with current feed cost, and comes right down to the bottom line, tell you how much you can pay for those cattle and what you need to sell them for to break even. And so, therefore, that comes into viewpoint if you're looking at purchasing some cattle. You can also use the livestock risk protection to lock in a floor on those cattle, and it should help the people when they think about buying cattle if there's some money to be made.
PCB, that also has been something that's been in the news, and for those that don't understand initials, tell them what that is.
That's short for Plains Commerce Bank, and we have locations in Aberdeen, Condie, the Hoven, the home office, also Sioux Falls, Watertown, and in Mitchell we got the loan production office.
You tired of rain? You going to turn it down?
No, I tell you, Bill, we've just been blessed with nice quarter-inch, half-inch rains, and things look great over here, unlike, you know, you get east of Sioux Falls where they just had too much rain.
So if people have questions for Plains Commerce, whether it be for the financing, the ag, or the town and country type services, how do they reach you guys?
They can give us a phone call at 996-1102. They can stop into our office in Mitchell here at 1200 South Burr Street, which is between Campbell Supply and the Cubby's gas station, or they can go online with plainscommerce.com.
All right. We appreciate all that you do, and we'll talk with you again next week. If you get too much rain, just tell us.
Well, Bill, we certainly thank you, what you do for our listeners, and I've visited with some people over in the Salem area, and they just think your radio show is splendid with the the current agriculture information that you share with people. So thank you much for the work you do also.
God bless. And next time I'm in Mitchell, I'll look you up.
You do that, Bill, and thank you again.
You betcha. The Starks are with us from Holt McDowell, sponsors the iGrow.org website. We have the music with the Batmobile running down the road. Yes, it's on, Mr. Starks. We've got your music. We got you rolling. You know, we're going to be talking wind power. You sent me a little email that everything I do in this show is wind.
You do power a lot of things with wind. The whole show's powered with wind.
Has to be, though.
Yeah, it does.
And where are you guys in the show? Just in the middle to make sure we don't run out of the gusts.
Push and pull, yep, that's us, push and pull.
You know, as we talk about this, you guys are constantly on the road. You're talking to people. We've had a far different look this year with a lot of green, a lot of moisture, even some damage. What are people asking, particularly when you tell them, make sure you have enough coverage, but not too much?
You know, I think that's always the key is what is enough? I mean, it's a thing. I listen to your friends at Plains Commerce Bank talk about.
PCB.
Yeah, pardon me. I always thought that was something that.
I did too.
Was a pollutant. But the one thing is you have to satisfy different people that have different ideas. And so it takes more than just sitting down, what's this worth and what's that's worth. I mean, the spreadsheets that he talks about, we use also for different items to. You have to see what things are. What the value is, and that's up for your agent and you to determine what a value is. Don't just put a price on it and then say, doggone, I wish we'd had more.
You know, in this hour, we also had Pfeiffer Implement on in the last hour. We talked a little bit about the fact that it's a far different year. It's volatile as far as the ag, but it's driving the bus right now. Does that surprise you with where we're going in South Dakota?
The whole ag driving the bus?
Yeah.
Oh, heavens. I think it's marvelous. I mean, I think it's a marvelous problem to have. I mean, it's better than being dependent on government to drive the bus. I mean, you know, it seemed like we were that seemed to be what was driving everything here was government this and government that. And with the Farm Bill, it's a little that way, but still production agriculture is very, very resourceful and very, very profitable right now. And it's great to see activity like that all over the state because that's what drives us. And, you know, it doesn't bother me that I can drive a Chevy if my customers can drive a Cadillac. So that's what I look at agriculture. I see them as being, you know, the great. They drug us out of the doldrums, actually.
We're talking with the Starks from Holt McDowell. I want to know if your son is giving you the chance to talk through the whole segment.
My son's in Alaska. But
so what's that about?
One of the things that happens.
How come he gets to go to Alaska and other places?
Smarter than his dad. One of the things Lucas talked about was farming. And you and Lucas talked. Well, Lucas did most of the talking. We did all the listening. But talked about training people, bringing them back to the farm. Well, today I brought an intern that we have in our office. And Michael come to us. He's going to be a senior at Roosevelt. And we have to cultivate our own people. I mean, the day of putting an ad in the newspaper and having 40 people stop is over. You have to give them adventure, and you have to give them opportunity, and you have to give them all the things that they want in a job. And again, that's what we're trying to do. So we try to get them young and get them involved. And so that's where Travis is gone and Dad's here.
Imagine that. I can't believe he would do that to you.
In a heartbeat, he will.
Holt University.
We're going to have an OSHA 10-hour on Holt University that is going to, really, it's starting to involve everybody. And it's actually, it filled up like in 3 days. So we're going to try to do another one. But so the OSHA 10-hour, the EPA one we talked about is going to try to come in August where we get an OSHA, EPA compliance. And HoltMcDowell.com, you can check out. There's a bunch of stuff in there that we're talking about, and we want our customers to tell us what their thoughts are, and we think they know what they need more than we try to force feed it to them.
All right. We know that you're
Michael
right on top of things.
I think Michael's dying to say just hello.
Michael, you're from Roosevelt. I have to work Brandon High School. I have trouble always speaking to those guys from from Roosevelt. But
okay.
What have you learned from these guys at Holt McDowell?
Client is king. You got to work to serve the client. And, you know, you go out and meet with these aid guys and, you know, get what their story is. There's a lot of problems that these farmers and ranchers are having throughout the state. And,
nice.
You know, part of it is transportation and getting grain to the markets and the elevators.
Michael's got a radio voice. What's your excuse?
Well, he does. And you know, he was worried. I think he was putting makeup on when we were, because I was trying
in
to
the
get
green
him,
room.
Yeah, I was trying to get him to hurry to come along. And, you know, and I think he was trying. I said, you got a face for radio, Michael, so you're perfect.
Well, and I've got ties to Roosevelt as well. I've got a daughter-in-law that coaches out there. So we have interesting discussions when it comes to sports involving Roosevelt. Michael, let us know what you're thinking every now and then. Maybe we'll have the intern come join us
okay. And
give us some impact as to what you're saying. You spoke very
you.
Well, and they're good people to work with.
You know, the hardest thing for a person my age is to listen to them and say, you know, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's hard for
Michael, you don't expect to hear that much. But, so how do they reach you guys?
Call us. 339-3620 is our local number, 1-800-584-7054, HoltMcDowell.com, bat signal, whatever, we're there.
Whatever it takes, and I appreciate you guys being with us for our 700th show this morning.
Thank you. I feel honored. Thanks
okay.
for everything you do, buddy. Thank
you. We do have Rick Shields, our Midwest Communication Farm Director. Before we go to break, we got live guest getting ready to join us here in a second. But, Rick, it's kind of wet around here. What's it like out a little bit east of Sioux Falls?
Well, it's going to kind of be wet pretty darn soon, I think, next day or so. Oh, by the way, happy 700, Bill. Great
Thank
job,
you.
As always. We're waiting for it to come in. Hopefully not 9 inches of rain like some parts of the High Plains got here in the last couple of weeks. But and hopefully it won't bounce either. That's the big word.
You know, the headlines across the Midwest could start with the crop report, could start with what else?
Well, yeah, the crop report, we're kind of waiting for the latest on that. Not a lot of change last week in terms of production and yield estimates. Kind of what's in the driver's seat there, it appears to be the foreign markets rather than the domestic ones price-wise, price dropping on wheat, not just because of the situation in the southern High Plains where it's still dry despite several rounds of big rains, but also the crops overseas are higher, modestly higher is what we're hearing. Wheat production numbers places like China, India, Europe, and Russia, and next fiscal year's corn exports about 10% lower this year because, yep, world competition again. So there's a lot of competition out there, Bill.
One of the things, Rick, we shared in this hour was the growth of agriculture in South Dakota, which is driving the bus even more than health care in some of the other areas. Does that surprise you with the friends that you've talked to in South Dakota and you're constantly talking to them because I know you're on our radio stations?
Well, that's right. And you know, it's not just South Dakota or the central part of the country, though, of course, that's where agriculture is centered. But, you know, we've got a situation where the whole business of agriculture is driving the national market so well, responsible for 1 million jobs. You add that, I think the figure I saw was almost $141 billion reaching a record ag export figure in the last fiscal year. And it looks like what I alluded to, maybe next year is not quite that strong, but it's still a big and, most importantly, growing segment of the U.S. economy.
Rick Shields, Midwest Communication Farm Director. We appreciate all you do, and we'll talk with you next week.
Look forward to it.
Thank you. When we come back, we're going to visit with our international trade correspondent, one Rock Nelson, and today, Sue Steele. Interested to hear what that message is. All a part of It's Your Agribusiness, show number 700. Welcome back to It's Your Agribusiness. As we've been saying this morning, the 700th show and the topic, agriculture. And we're going to talk a little bit about how we export South Dakota products around the world. One Rock Nelson, last week he kind of droopy drawers in here because you'd just gotten back from Seattle. The plane was a little late.
Yep.
But he's here today, and you have brought with us a key part of what we do in South Dakota, and that is steel. And you brought the fourth generation. Is Absolutely. That what I heard this
and
morning?
It's a privilege to be on your 700th show for both of us. And my guest today is Scott Risden, who is the CEO and president of Sioux Steel, which I think sometimes is a well-kept secret in the Sioux Falls state and the state and nationwide community. But it's a very, very good, solid-based business.
96 years coming up in July is what I'm hearing. You haven't been with the company quite that long, but
four or five years? No, I've been with the company 20 years.
20 years.
Yeah. But we've been exporting about 3 years. And I also want to say congratulations on the 700 show, you know, 700, like the 700 Club. You and Pat Robertson, you're together. You got synergies going on.
Well, and we both pray a lot. So.
You do. Okay.
We do that. You know, when we start talking about Sioux Steel and they're saying, a lot of people out there will not know that there is a foreign market for Sioux Steel. How did this happen, and relate to those that are both the consumer and the farmer why it is important?
Well, we talked a lot about during the show about volatility, and a big portion of that happens to our product as well. We ride up and down, even though we have a fairly diversified product line where we have cattle handling equipment that feeds that beef market we were talking about earlier. We do need that broad base, and part of that volatility, sharing that volatility with the producer, is to make sure that we're capturing those markets overseas as well, so that we're not riding down like we had in the drought years here just recently. The way it goes with the producers, similar to many of the producers here in South Dakota, have land here in South Dakota and some in Nebraska, you know, and other places. And so they're trying to diversify their operations to make sure those weather patterns don't affect them as much as they have in the past.
So how do countries around the world find out about Sioux Steel? It's not exactly the place you'd start looking with all the steel cities in the country that you'd look in Sioux Falls.
Yeah, the Foreign Trade Commission here in the United States has done a really good job. Suresh Kumar at the top there has put us in a forward position with the Gold Key programs that you can do at any embassy around the world. We can get in and talk to possible vendors and get started with them. And then also we've hired sales staff that gets us in a forward position. So we have an office now in India. We've got a European sales force, and we've also got a large international directorship for that program, primarily in the storage business. And, of course, those countries need storage just like the United States does to even out the market fluctuations.
Rock Nelson, you're always surprising me with the people we've had in the show. We've had Poet, we've had Raven, we've had, seems like another one or two in the last few weeks. Most people wouldn't have figured that products from South Dakota, steel from South Dakota, would wind up around the globe.
Well, the foreign buyers like the high-quality American-made product. And here in South Dakota, in the upper Midwest, with our strong work ethic, it's only natural that we produce good products. And Scott alluded to the fact, and he stressed it in a way, that the economy, when it took its dip a couple of years ago, exporting by his company, added benefits to his company. It was an extra source of income that had his company not been exporting, would not have seen. And some companies in South Dakota, and not his, but some companies exporting saved their bacon. Had they not been exporting, it would have been very crucial for them to have survived. But with Scott's company getting into it, it's just an added benefit, which, again, like I've said for every program that we've had so far, will cause him to have to hire more people because there's a higher demand for his product. The foreign buyers love it, so he hires more people. They, in turn, spend money throughout the economy in Sioux Falls. They go to grocery stores, fill their cars with gasoline, clothes for their kids when they go to school, etc. And so it all really works out for the benefit of our community. The more exporting we can get, the better our community will be, and the better those employees will be also.
Scott Risden is the CEO, fourth generation from the family with Sioux Steel. Are there careers available at Sioux Steel for people that have an interest?
Always. Always. We've got positions available all the time. We're always growing, so we're always looking for new people to join the team. We've got a fresh bevy of new interns this summer that we're looking at trying to train them and get them into some of our fantastic positions in anywhere from marketing to manufacturing.
Now, for people that don't know you, Scott, how long have you been in South Dakota?
My entire life.
So your feel about what we see in South Dakota, some of the secrets that often people have no way of knowing, we're more than four heads at the west part of the state. We're far more than that with what we're hearing on the trade that's around the world, all the things that's being done in agriculture, the fact that agriculture with healthcare, with the likes of the Sanford, are driving the bus on growth in South Dakota. Mm-hmm. Amazing story.
It is an amazing story. Yeah.
So, Rock, what else have I missed between the lines on this Sioux Steel thing that people should know?
Well, I think it's interesting when Scott said that his company's primary exports have to do with grain storage. Countries like India, they are not aware of the high-quality product that his company makes. And they dump their grain on the ground, and then the moisture gets to it, and then it turns rotten. And I think they end up having a lot of crops that they've harvested that literally end up being worthless. So if we can educate them as far as grain storage, keeping the moisture out, drying the product, et cetera. His company also makes hoop sheds. They use it for storage of machinery and different pieces of equipment overseas and in the U.S. If we can educate the foreigners that for all their hard work, if they can keep the product dry through companies like him, they're going to be all the better off with their economies too.
Scott Risden, Sioux Steel, we appreciate having the message, learning about you guys. Thanks for the 700 Club reference.
Thanks,
Pat. I can
Pat.
Use all the prayers I can get.
Yeah, okay.
And if you have an interest in a career, Sioux Steel could be a good place for you. Rock, we'll talk again soon. We'll see who the next link is to international.
This sounds like a winner. Thank you for having us, and have a great week.
We have a guest on the phone right now. This is Craig Marquardt from Advanta Mortgage. He is a senior loan officer there, and we need to get the loan snapshot of the day.
Well, good morning, Bill.
Good
Hopefully
morning.
You survived the wet weather this weekend.
We did. We did, and I hope you had a good Sunday with your family.
I did. We did a little traveling, and I was appreciating an extra day off so I could go visit my family, and so that was nice. How about you?
Got a little of that. Made it all come together, and I was blessed to have the family that I do that remembered Dad.
Well, hopefully you didn't have to do any cooking this weekend, and everybody cooked for you.
They did. They took good care of me. Loan snapshot. Do you have one?
I do. I have a quick recap of last week. The market last week was slightly worse than it was at the beginning of the week, but yet this week we expect the trading to help improve interest rates. So currently the conventional Fannie Mae 30-year fixed rate is holding steady at 4.250% with an APR of 4.443%.
18.7.
We always have an on-call mortgage banker, so if any one of your listeners want to call 275-2777, or even family or friends of your listeners want to call 275-2777.
And I know that works because I hear people telling me that all the time. And, of course, one loan size doesn't fit all.
Yes, rates are always subject to change based on the current market conditions, and conditions change throughout the day, as well as the specific loan program and the individual borrower's details.
Contact information one more time.
Give us a call at 275-2777, or they can learn more about us and apply online at www.advantamortgage.com.
Craig Marquardt, Advanta Mortgage, mortgage bankers you can count on. Thanks, Craig.
See you Wednesday.
Scott Verilek, Coima Kamig in Sioux Center, has ties to South Dakota with the cattle industry, but we know him more for the commodity voice each day at 11:30. Kettle 1320-1079. Scott, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bill.
Safe food supply. Tell us what that note means.
Yeah, I've got some thoughts there. And we can officially never stop doing this show, I think, Bill, because of these livestock prices. Since we started doing this show, you know, pretty much the biggest rally in the history of time. I mean, it's been historical and fun for the producer to finally see some nice profits come in. But what happens when we get to these levels, you know, we're looking at record high live cattle, feeder cattle, and the hogs are right up against it. Usually what happens when everybody thinks we're going straight up and there's nothing that can stop it, there's some people that are sweating a little bit, that, you know, there is margin calls pouring in, some larger outfits that get short this market, and you'll start to hear some news, you know, some different articles start to come out that are, it's usually an outside influence that'll come in and break this market. You know, every year it seems like there's something oddball that comes in and breaks it, and I think 2 weeks ago they tried to come out with there was an article on a Harvard study and trying to link some different things to beef. You'll notice that more of that stuff starts to come out. And just the point I'm trying to make is, in the United States, we have the safest food supply in the world, hands down there. So when some of this stuff comes out, you kind of have to pick and choose what you want to listen to and what you're looking for as far as information there. So just be careful. And when markets get this high, you'll start to see some people take some cracks with that kind of stuff.
Scott Verlich, Coima K-Mig, how do they reach you over there in Sioux Center?
Yeah, if you want to give us a call, 800 number is the best, 1-800-358-3047.
The best, Scott. Scott Verlich, Coima K-Mig.
Thanks, Bill.
When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about wind, and we're going to talk as well about the climatologist and his report on what to expect with all this rain for the rest of the summer. One of the It's Your Business experts that's well known in the Sioux Falls area is Dakota Radon Mitigation's Mike Austed. Mike is from the Austed family, yes, a part of the A-Team. In addition to doing the radon work in the metro area, recent road trips took him to Artesian, Brookings, Yankton, Milbank, and Viber. His A-Team professionally certified mobile radon mitigation unit reaches all over our listening area.
In eastern South Dakota, Minnesota, and Iowa, radon gas is a major factor in the homes of our lives. Check the official South Dakota website, sd.gov, and go to the health department to get a radon test kit. A 2011 South Dakota report showed that the average home in South Dakota that does test high for radon is over twice the recommended level. If you need help with a test, whether it be for a house sale, closing, or just concerned about the safety of your family, call Mike Austed, the A-Team, at 201-4704. If you need radon mitigation, I'm right here.
I'm Tony Bachman with Keller Williams. Canterbury Village, all in easy living, East Sioux Falls, just east of Sycamore and Madison. Canterbury Village is about people. People like Tom Johnson.
For the last 4 years, we've kind of been searching for a home. When we went to looking for a home with all the amenities on one level, it became a challenge in Sioux Falls. In addition to Canterbury Village having that, no steps, that requirement of our search was met. To see the parties that they had on a monthly basis, to see the sense of community that already exists there, it was a no-brainer for Cheryl and I to be part of that.
Canterbury Village is not in some far-off land. The builder, Brad and Tammy, bring years of skill, craftsmanship, and love to this project. Condo starting in the 260s.
We schedule open houses almost every weekend, but if you'd like a private tour, just call us at 275-0555 or visit us online at youronlinehomeguide.com.
Canterbury Village. Sounds like home to me.
Rush Limbaugh, weekdays 11 to 2. Kello, News Talk 1320 107.9.
Friday, in our It's Your Business show, we introduced you to Brian Minish, Dakota Power Community Wind. Unlike some of the opportunities in the past, this group has identified some real needs for our South Dakota wind and other parts of the country. Brian, your investment meetings start today.
Yeah, we're very excited about that. And by the way, congratulations on show 700.
Well, thank you. As we do this, explain how this is a win-win for South Dakota and the people that need the energy.
Well, there's increasing demand for renewable energies in a lot of parts of the country. A lot of it's driven by certain state requirements for a minimum number, amount of electricity produced from wind. And many of those are in areas outside of where the wind belt is, which runs down through the middle of the country. So the transmission line company, Rock Island Clean Line, has proposed a transmission line that will go from northwest Iowa to Joliet, Illinois, where it can then be connected to the eastern grid. and give us the opportunity to market the electricity in states like Pennsylvania and Maryland and Washington, D.C. So it's a unique opportunity, and we're fortunate that there's a real good wind regime in southern Lincoln County that would give us access to connecting into that line and marketing the power all the way to the East Coast.
All right. The first of the meetings are today, 2 and 7 o'clock, the Bridges in Beresford. Tomorrow in Canton at 2, the Depot, Ramcota in Sioux Falls at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night. And then you go to Huron and Mitchell on Wednesday, Yankton, Lenox on Thursday. Then you have Brookings, Madison, Aberdeen, Watertown, and Rapid City. Exact schedule is at your website, dpcwind.com.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, we have an entire listing there and some additional information about the project listed there as well.
Most asked question you're getting in your travels?
I think there's just a lot of general curiosity about wind power. You know, how big are the turbines? You know, how much power can they produce? How many turbines are you going to put up? And so I think just general curiosity on what wind power is and how it gets done. And we will be in a position to answer a lot of those questions for folks at the meetings that we have here in the next 2 weeks.
Brian Minish, Dakota Power Community Wind. He's out of Lenox. He's one of us. And I think we're scheduled to talk with you again a little bit later as this goes on and maybe get some feedback as to what people were asking.
Well, we'd be happy to do that. And we're excited to kick this off and give South Dakota investors an opportunity to be a part of the development company that puts this together and hopefully takes out and finds somebody to assist us in building the project.
Brian, thanks for your time this morning.
Okay, thank you.
Dennis Toddy is an associate professor and state climatologist. Dennis, good morning to you.
Good morning. How you doing, Bob?
Yeah, thanks. We do have a current moisture status in the crop areas of South Dakota. Can you give us some numbers and some thoughts?
I can give you thoughts. I've been traveling for the last week, so I haven't been able to keep track of numbers, but I have some relative idea of what's happening. I mean, certainly the rainfall we've had in the last week, and especially in more southeastern parts of the state, has been helpful because we still were running some deficits at longer terms, back to throughout the spring and maybe back to last fall. So we probably had a little bit of soil moisture deficits. The amount of precipitation we've had now over the last week and even couple weeks and ongoing as we speak this morning, where I'm in the middle of one right now, is helping to, reduce some of those deficits, eliminate some of those deficits. So that's a good thing. The unfortunate aspect now is we've seen excessive rainfall. People have seen on other media reports, and I'm driving around this morning seeing standing water in fields. That's going to be a downside of this. Get some standing water in fields, which is going to produce some, water logging. That's going to be bad for some crop areas. Hopefully we'll not drown things out. But, the big point is what's going to happen right after this now is, are we going to keep getting some of these rainfalls, or are we going to have some time to dry out and allow some of this to drain?
Potential for El Nino, how that could impact the outlook?
Obviously, that has been something that's been on people's minds. We've been watching since, we first started talking about it last winter. NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, got it higher on their radar starting in the late spring. Has most recent numbers have put it as 70% chance of El Nino this summer. And the other 30% chance, basically, is probably not whether it's going to be this summer or not, but it would probably be more likely this fall. So I think we may be seeing some of the early impacts of El Nino right now. It's really hard to define exactly when an El Nino starts and says, yes, this is El Nino or not El Nino. But, kind of what we've seen with a little bit wetter pattern across the Corn Belt, temperatures not too extreme at this point. That's certainly what we would expect during an El Nino summer. And that seems to be the thinking right now is that this El Nino is going to be occurring probably by late summer, if not early fall. And then we will see some of the impacts of it from the fall into next winter.
Dennis Toddy, a state climatologist. We'll talk again in a couple of weeks. Thanks for taking time to be with us this morning on your Agribusiness Hour.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Kinetico may not be the first water company you think of, but who should you be talking to?
It's Kinetico, Kinetico, Kinetico. Hi, I'm Julene. In 2014, why not trade in your old electric water softener for a new Kinetico? We'll offer you up to $400 for your old softener, and with a new Kinetico water softener that is free of electricity, you've cut the cord. Just call us at 339-3434 or visit KineticoSiouxFalls.com.
For water in the USA, it's as simple as running water. Kinetico, Kinetico, Kinetico. Back at Advanta Mortgage with Jim Lowe. Jim, why should I use Advanta Mortgage?
At Advanta Mortgage, we specialize just in mortgage loans. At Advanta Mortgage, we process and underwrite our own loans here in Sioux Falls. We have loan officers on call 18 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our interest rates are very competitive.
Apply online at AdvantaMortgage.com, 275-2777, NMLS number 162-291. What is Advanta Mortgage's mission statement?
Advanta Mortgage emphasizes the highest professional standard of mortgage lending, priding ourselves on our integrity, honesty, character, and competency, knowledge, and communication. Advanta Mortgage has a passion for serving customers and will strive to become the strongest and best mortgage lender in the market.
Stop by our new location at 57th at the Bridges, 57th and Western, or call 275-2777. Take the first step. Visit us at AdvantaMortgage.com. Advanta Mortgage, mortgage bankers you can count on. An equal housing opportunity lender.
In today's marketplace, investing for your future requires an understanding of where you are, where you want your money to take you, and managing the risks along the way. I'm Mary Howard with the Howard Group at Baird. Here in Sioux Falls, we've successfully guided investors and their families for 20 years by keeping their interests first, always. Together, we can help secure your financial future. Call us at 605-275-2310 or visit our website at www.howardgroupofbaird.com.
Robert W. Baird & Company. Member SIPC.
Sean Hannity, weekdays 2 to 5. Kello, News Talk 1320, 107.9.
Busy 700th show. Todd Neuberger, Edward Jones has the Main Street to Wall Street report. Todd, good morning.
Morning, Bill. Morning, everyone. Congratulations, Bill, on 700. Nice, Rev. Morning, everyone. Todd Neuberger of Edward Jones bringing in the daily financial market report. U.S. stocks are fluctuating as the escalating conflict in Iraq weighs on corporate merger and economic data. Rising geopolitical tensions stemming from the Ukraine also have investors' attention after Russia's energy giants Gazprom cut gas supplies to the country after failing to pay its debt prior to this morning's deadline. In corporate news, Medtronic over the weekend announced that it has come to an agreement with Covidien in a transaction valued at $43 billion in cash and stocks. Meanwhile, on the economic side, the New York Federal Reserve Index indicated that the business conditions rose in June, and a separate report showed manufacturing output rose in May. So far this morning in the S&P 500, the best-performing sector is utilities, worst-performing sectors, financials. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is off 20 points at 16,755. The NASDAQ is down 5 points at 4,305. And the S&P 500 index is trading at 1,938. Volume on the New York Exchange has traded about 160 million shares. Decliners are outnumbering advancers by a 3-2 margin. In commodity markets, gold's off $1.37 at $1,275, silver down 2 cents at $19.68, and crude oil prices are hovering about $107 a barrel. In some stocks of local interest, Daktronix is down at about $11.87. Citigroup is off 17 cents at $47.42. Raven is at down 22 cents at $32.53. Summit Hotel Properties is trading at $10.29. And Meta Financial Bank is trading at $40.33. This is Todd Neuberger, Edward Jones, member SIPC, serving individual investors with personalized attention, long-term financial advice in Sioux Falls, bringing you this Wall Street to Main Street report, Bill.
Hey, Todd, always a pleasure to do business with you. And our audience, when they want to do that, how do they reach you?
Right back at you, Bill. Have enjoyed a lot of relationship for a lot of years. 605-371-0375 or at todd.neuberger@edwardjones.com.
All right. You have a good week. Talk to you Friday.
You guys too. Take care. Bye.
John at Valentino's. We're in our last minute or so of the show. John, we know it's Senior Monday. We know that Father's Day is behind us and that you're at 41st and Willow, and you talked a lot about salads in the first hour.
We sure did. So do you think we should move on?
Yeah.
Please.
Another thing that really separates from some of the other buffets in town is, you know, we are heavily Italian, which means we have two different pastas. We have rotini for the kids and spaghetti. And we also have six different sauces, and the Sicilian sauce we make right here from our own recipe. It is excellent. It's a white sauce with mushrooms and real bacon bits, and it's just a very flavorful. We also have beer cheese. We have meat sauce. We have sausage and mushrooms with a little spice. We got our sweet marinara sauce. We also have baked lasagna, fettuccine, Alfredo, pasta primavera, and, of course, meatballs.
You have good stuff.
Go ahead.
You really have the good stuff. The doors are open. It's Senior. He's never found an ugly senior unless maybe they came from Alaska or someplace.
Yeah.
But
that's right.
We'll talk to you later in the week. We appreciate you, John and Valentino's. For now, though, our time's up. Thank you for